It was an hour later when she heard him step out into the hall. He was humming under his breath, tunelessly, with the faraway look of preoccupation that means that some big thought has required the shutting down of all non-essential processes. He was also re-radiating the field of angered innocence that was, to her, part of his essential Vimesness.
"Are you going out, Sam?"
"Yes. I'm just going to kick some arse, dear."
"Oh, good. Just be sure you wrap up well, then."
The Gorriff family trudged along silently beside Carrot. "I'm sorry about your shop, Mr. Gorriff," he said. Gorriff shifted the load he was carrying.
"We can start other shops," he said.
"We'll certainly keep an eye on it," said Carrot, "and when all this is over, you can come back."
"Thank you."
His son said something in Clatchian. There was a brief family argument. "I appreciate your strength of feeling," said Carrot, going red, "although I must say I think your language was a little strong."
"My son is sorry," said Gorriff automatically. "He did not remember that you speak Clatchian."
"No, I'm not. Why should we run away?" said the boy. "We live here. I've never seen Clatch."
"Oh, well, that would be something to look forward to," said Carrot. "I hear it has many fine..."
"Are you stupid?" said Janil.
He shook himself free of his father's grasp and confronted Carrot.
"I don't care. I don't want all this stuff about the moon rising over the mountains of the sun. I get that at home all the time. I live here."
"Now you really ought to listen to your parents."
"Why? My dad works all the time and now he's being pushed out. What good's that? We ought to stay here and defend what's ours."
"Ah, well, you shouldn't take the law into your own hands."
"Why not?"
"It's our job."
"But you're not doing it."
There was a rattle of Clatchian from Mr. Gorriff.
"He says I've got to apologise," said Janil sullenly. "I'm sorry."
"So am I," said Carrot. The boy's father gave him that complicated shrug used by adults in a situation involving adolescents.
"You'll be back, I know it," said Carrot.
"We shall see."
They went down the quay towards a waiting boat. It was a Clatchian ship. People lined the rails, people who were getting out with what they could carry before they could only get out with what they wore. The watchmen found themselves under hostile scrutiny.
"Surely rust isn't already forcing Clatchians out of their homes," said Angua.
"We can tell which way the wind is blowing," said Gorriff calmly.
Carrot sniffed the salt air.
"It's blowing from Clatch," he said.
"For you, perhaps," said Gorriff. A whip cracked behind them and they stood aside as several coaches rumbled by. A blind at the window was pulled aside momentarily. Carrot caught a brief glimpse of a face, all gold teeth and black beard, before the cloth twitched back.
"That's him, isn't it?"
There was a faint grunt from Angua. She had her eyes closed, as she always did when she was letting her nose do the seeing.
"Clothes," she murmured, and then grabbed Carrot's arm. "Don't run after it. There's armed men on that ship. What will they think when they see a soldier running towards them?"
"I'm not a soldier. How long do you think they'll spend working out the difference?"
The coach pushed through the press of people on the dock. The crowd surged back around it.
"There's boxes being unloaded. I can't quite see," said Carrot, shading his eyes. "Look, I'm sure they'll understand if..."
71-hour Ahmed stepped out onto the dock and looked back towards the watchman. There was a momentary sparkle as he grinned. They saw his hand reach over his shoulder and come back holding the curved sword.
"I can't just let him get away," said Carrot. "He's a suspect. Look, he's laughing at us."
"With diplomatic impunity," said Angua. "But there's a lot of armed men down there." "My strength is as the strength of 10 because my heart is pure," said Carrot.
"Really? Well, there's 11 of them."
71-hour Ahmed threw his sword in the air. It spun a couple of times, making a whum-whum noise, and then his hand shot out and caught it by the handle as it fell.
"That's what Mr. Vimes was doing," said Carrot through gritted teeth. "Now he's taunting us."
"You will be killed if you go on the ship," said Gorriff behind him. "I know that man."
"You do? How?"
"He is feared in the whole of Clatch. That is 71-hour Ahmed."
"Yes. Why is..."
"You haven't heard of him? And he is a dreg."
Mrs. Gorriff pulled at her husband's arm.
"Dreg?" said Angua.
"A warlike desert tribe," said Carrot. "Very fierce. Honourable, though. They say that if a dreg is your friend, he's your friend for the rest of your life."
"And if he's not your friend?"
That's about 5 seconds."
He drew his sword.
"Nevertheless," he added, "we can't let him..."